Millennium Films presents a 777 Films Corporation production, a film by Sheldon Lettich. Jean-Claude Van Damme. The Order. Moving over a hill caked with brown earth. Sophia Milos, Brian Thompson, Ben Cross. Gliding over the crest of the hill reveals a vast landscape of valleys and hills, bathed in the golden light of the rising sun. Also starring Charlton Heston. Now a rocky canyon, 1099 AD.
It was an age of religious crusades and holy wars. After a grueling four-year campaign, the Knights of Christendom finally arrived at the gates of Jerusalem. During the furious battle for the Holy City, a Flemish knight, Charles Le Vaillant, had a life-changing epiphany.
An army of knights bearing red crosses on their shields storm a castle. It's a chaos of clashing swords and flailing limbs. One of the knights opens the castle doors, letting in a stampede of knights on horseback. One of the knights plunges his sword into an enemy's chest. A knight watches the carnage through the eye slot in his helmet, his gaze intent.
Le Vaillant was struck by the hypocrisy of killing fellow human beings in the name of religion, especially since these people professed belief in the same God. The Fazar, Le Vaillant's written account of his experiences in the Holy Land, tells us he wandered the streets of conquered Jerusalem for days after that bloody battle, until he found the entrance of a cave that ran beneath the length of the holy city. Inside that cave, he began to record his epiphany, which became the basis for a new religious sect, an order that would combine the fundamental tenets of the three major religions of his day. His first converts were fellow Christian knights who'd also become disenchanted by the bloodshed. The force of his convictions even won over a number of Muslims and Jews, former enemies, who now became willing converts to the new faith. Many years after completing the original Fazar, Le Vaillant had further revelations. He wrote these down, intending them to be added as the final chapter. Around the same time, he and his followers were being accused of heresy by the Crusader authorities. On their way to Syria, he and a group of disciples were intercepted by some of the very same Crusaders he had once commanded.
A group of Crusaders charge on horseback towards Le Vaillant and his disciples, their swords raised. The followers struggle vainly to defend themselves as one by one they are brutally cut down. Le Vaillant, with long grey hair and a flowing cloak, watches helplessly.
During the battle that followed, Le Vaillant died a martyr's death.
A knight slashes Le Vaillant with his sword, and he drops to the ground, clutching his stomach.
The final chapter he had written was lost.
Directed by Sheldon Lettich. Now it's nighttime in a modern-day city, Odessa, Ukraine.
Do you have the alarm code? And no guards, right?
You'll be like the fox in the hen house. Take as many eggs as you like.
Yuri, it's Russian mob. No mistakes on this one, right?
My friend, this is 1,000%. By this time tomorrow, you'll be in New York making a deal, a sale. And I'll be in Tel Aviv waiting for my commission.
With his face blacked out, Rudy, the buyer of the map, is standing on a roof opposite a tall building. He fits together the pieces of a harpoon gun, then aims it at the building. Having attached a wire to the building, Rudy hooks the harpoon onto a metal railing and fastens a harness around his chest. Down below, Yuri is in his van.
Visual is all clear.
Rudy careens along the wire to the building opposite and lands on a window ledge. A pencil-thin motion detection beam protects the window.
Done.
Rudy uses a plunger and glass cutter to lift out a circular section of the window. Yuri listens intently through a pair of headphones as Rudy enters the building.
Way to go, Yuri. I'm in.
Dressed in black, Rudy creeps through a large room of glass-encased exhibits.
Do you see the egg?
A blue egg sprinkled with gems and flecks of gold.
Yes!
I'm going for it.
He slowly lifts off the glass case. The egg is covered in intricate gold markings. Rudy carefully lifts the egg from its holder.
I got it.
Yuri's the man with a plan!
You're the man with
a plan. I told you! Rudy?
A guard storms in and shoots at Rudy.
Are you okay?
Two guards aim their guns at Rudy.
Was that a gunshot?
No, I fought it.
Rudy throws the egg into the air, distracting the first guard, then sidekicks the second, sending him crashing into a glass cabinet. Rudy lunges for the egg as it hurtles towards the floor. The guard reaches for it, but Rudy kicks him in the chest and catches the egg. The guard tries to grab Rudy, but Rudy smashes him in the head with a frosted glass ornament. Outside, police cars rush past Yuri's van. Rudy slips the egg into his pocket and quietly creeps along the corridor.
Yuri, guide me out of here.
Hey, Gordon, what did you ask us?
Yuri gets out of the van. Yuri backs against his van while the police officer looks at him sternly. Inside the building, Rudy sneaks along a dark hallway.
Oh shit, Rudy. I'm
sorry. Yuri drives off in the van. Rudy comes to a winding staircase. He dashes down it, but is confronted halfway down. Rudy kicks his adversary, sending him down the stairs. Another man grabs him from behind, but Rudy butts his face with the back of his head, then throws him over the balcony. Another man makes a charge, but Rudy delivers a high kick to his chest. A guard fires at Rudy, forcing him to retreat back up the stairs. Outside, one policeman to another.
So where'd this guy disappear to?
Behind them, Rudy clambers on the outside of the building, then drops down into a dumpster. A policeman looks around and goes over to check out the sound. He rummages through the black garbage bags. He leans over the side and is suddenly dragged into the dumpster. A little later, Rudy is shuffling down the street in the policeman's uniform. Rudy glances over his shoulder. Rudy runs off, clutching at his groin. Now, speeding over the Brooklyn Bridge towards Manhattan. Rudy screeches to a halt in a red sports car.
Hey, pal, this is a taxi zone. You want to get towed away?
Sorry, watch it for me. Thanks.
The New York Public Library.
Yes, well, now, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you have seen enough stones and carvings. All right, come with me. I will now show you a garment, one of our most controversial acquisitions. This was unearthed beneath a false storage room situated by Theodosius as a decoy against thieves. Quite often, success as an archaeologist depends on knowing where to dig.
Well, I can dig her.
Rudy! Would you take over for me, please?
The crowd wanders off.
Dad! What's up? My main man.
Why must you always attract attention?
Come on, I love people, I love life.
You want to embarrass me?
I'm just having fun, Dad. Anyway, you call me, you want to talk?
Yes, but not here. Come on.
So tell me, Rudy, are you still involved in that same nonsense?
Hey, I'm legit, no. Straight, import, export, and I'm kicking ass, no. Check this out. Here, take it, for you.
Fancy watches, fast cars, easy money. What does it all really prove in the grand scheme of things, Rudy?
Yeah? Yeah, I've got it. Oh, trust me, it's in pristine condition. 10 o'clock. Yeah, I'll be there.
His father looks concerned.
Later. Tonight. Some business.
I do hope for your sake it is legal.
1,000%.
Come on.
Damn, plane tickets. They are here somewhere.
Where are you going? Not a dig?
No, an interview with someone I've been trying to meet for a very long time.
Some ancient parchment.
Don't touch that!
Sorry. What is it?
The lost chapter of the Fazaar.
Oh.
The Fazaar happens to be the holy scripture for an obscure Middle Eastern sect. And yes, to answer your inevitable next question, it is quite valuable, but only to practicing members of the order.
What can I say, Dad? You have an exciting life.
Cody, we need to discuss some important issues. Can you come by my apartment this evening?
I've got some business tonight.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's time to go, Dad.
All right. Can you at least call me?
Of course. Absolutely.
Tonight. Rudy, it has to be tonight.
You've got it, Dad.
Times Square at night. A dazzling frenzy of flashing neon lights. Rudy pulls up in his sports car outside a strip club. He hands the parking valet his keys, then heads inside.
Be careful.
The club is called Fantasia. Inside, semi-naked women dance sensuously on stage. Rudy comes in and dances jauntily.
Mr. Kaufmeyer, this way.
So, let's see what Santa brought for me.
The egg.
This egg was designed by Peter Carl Fabergé, a special gift to Tsar Nikola. Now look at that inlay, 24 karat gold. What can I say? One of a kind.
That's why it's so goddamn expensive.
Yeah. You cannot find this on the net.
That's for sure. But stealing it from a Russian mafia boss, come on.
Russian mafia?
In fact, he's got some friends, very nasty guys. They found out about this, you'd end up with your balls stuffed and sewn inside your mouth.
Whoa. So, the deal about the...
No. Here's the deal, Rudy. I'm giving you an easy out. I'll take this hot potato off your hands. And I'll assume the risk.
Risk is my business, okay?
You're not listening, Rudy.
A second, please.
Hello. Rudy, where are you? You promised to call me tonight.
I'm in a business meeting.
Really? What, are you buying a disco?
Dad, please.
I can hear that Snoopy Dogg music.
Hey, where are you going?
Yes, well, that is just what I am trying to explain to you.
Rudy knocks the henchman onto the floor.
Rudy, what is going on?
Give it to him.
Rudy!
Hey, come here. Rudy kicks a henchman through a window.
Rudy?
Stepping on his phone, Rudy dives through the window.
My egg.
A henchman grabs Rudy from behind. Rudy headbutts him, then swing kicks him in the face. Rudy grabs onto a pole and swings around, kicking a henchman and sending him crashing into a display of champagne bottles. He deftly disposes with yet another henchman, then goes after the man he was meeting, who trips over, crushing the egg.
Oh, shit.
Rudy sees the smashed egg, then suddenly a woman sprays pepper spray in his face.
Is that a problem, huh?
Hey, can I make a phone call over here?
Not yet, Rudy. Heard you had a big night last night. How do you get paid for all that? You sell your Ferrari or what?
Listen, I had a bad night, okay? Why do I have to look at your face in the morning, huh?
Is your father Oscar Kaffmeyer?
Yeah. Why?
Yesterday there was a valuable manuscript in this case. Last night, security discovered it missing.
So what?
Father was the last one to leave the building. Now this morning, nobody seems to know where he is. Maybe it's a case of like father, like son?
You're full of shit.
Rudy, relax.
Why should he break the glass if he had a key?
And nobody's making any accusations here. We just want to ask him some questions. You have any idea where he is?
No.
Rudy returns home to his lavish apartment. He switches on some lamps and walks down the hallway, taking off his leather jacket and hanging it on a hook. He walks over to a desk. He switches on his answer machine.
Rudy, I have been trying your mobile. All I get is this recording. Oh, never mind. I will try again later. Rudy, I am staying at an old friend's home. Well, you remember Walt Finley. He is teaching at Ben Gurion University. Now, this is his number. 972.
Hello?
Rudy?
Dad, how are you?
Thank God you are there.
Where are you?
Israel.
Israel?
Pay attention. Please, I beg you.
Listen, I was just at the police station. Do you know what they're saying about you?
Not now, Rudy. I'm afraid I might have gotten myself into some big trouble.
Big trouble? What do you mean?
Hey, what are you doing?
Dad?
Hey, the phone.
Who's that? Can you book me on the first flight to Israel? Tel Aviv. Right away.
A jumbo jet taxis down the runway.
Take your glasses off, please.
Rudy is at the customs office.
Visiting Israel on business or pleasure?
Pleasure. Always. Excuse me, what's the delay?
Mr. Kaufmeyer, our database shows that you've had several arrests for illegally transporting artifacts.
Does it also show I was never convicted?
Please open your carry-on.
Rudy dumps his bag on the counter, and a male customs officer opens it.
Do you have any artifacts that you have not declared?
Oh, the Mona Lisa.
You like to joke, huh?
They say laughter opens up the soul.
Well, while we're at it, let it open the rest of your luggage, too.
You're joking, right?
No.
You know, this is bullshit.
No, Mr. Kaufmeyer. This is Israel.
As Rudy makes his way through the airport, the customs officer, Dahlia, approaches him.
I apologize for the inconvenience. Security is extra tight this month. Muslims are making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for Ramadan.
Password, please.
Rudy? Rudy Kaufmeyer.
Who's this?
Walter Finley, professor of archaeology at Ben-Gurion University.
And what is your relationship to this man?
Not that it's any of your business. I'm a friend of his father's. I've known that kid since he was in knickers, which would have put you in diapers. Now, are there any more insurmountable obstacles we have to overcome here, young lady?
Thank you for your cooperation. Shalom.
Good to see you, Rudy.
Good to see you, too. Where's my dad?
Look, let's get your bags into my car. Ozzy Kaufmeyer's a cranky old fool. Calls me 2 days ago to pick him up at the airport.
So I take him back to my house. We have dinner, talk, catch up on old times.
What was he doing here?
I'm getting to that. What is this, the Spanish Inquisition? A few years ago, he uncovered some scrolls near the Syrian border. They were the lost final chapter of the Fazar, written by Le Valiant himself.
What was he doing, translating it?
More than that. He was writing a history of the sect, an unauthorized history. He's been emailing me his chapters, having me lock them up in a safe deposit box here.
Why a safe deposit box in Israel?
Because he trusted me. Here, here's the key. You ought to have it anyway.
Okay, where can I find these guys?
I'll show you.
Finley parks the car alongside a small stone wall overlooking an Israeli city. Dressed in a suit and wearing a pair of shades, Rudy looks over at the crowded buildings bordered by an ancient wall.
Their monastery is in East Jerusalem, the other side of the Mount of Olives.
We're wasting time. Let's go.
Rudy, the present-day order is just as reclusive as it ever was. Fanatically adverse to publicity, no contact with the outside world. You do better trying to get an audience with the Pope. Son of a bitch. Those are the guys that came by the house and picked up your dad.
Hey! Hey, you! Go. Jump in. I'll drive.
You don't know the way.
You'll navigate, okay?
Be careful. This is a classic car.
The two men that were watching them jump into their car and reverse quickly, knocking over a man. They speed off, narrowly missing a camel.
Professor, buckle up.
Rudy skids the car, narrowly missing the two men. They give chase, speeding along a narrow road. One of the men fires at them with a handgun. A group of monks dressed in black robes clear the road as the cars race past. The cars rocket along the twists and turns of the road, which is bordered on both sides by high walls. Sprays of gravel fly up from the squealing tires. The cars are now racing along a busy highway, swerving in and out of traffic. Rudy wrestles with the steering wheel, struggling to keep control. One of the men looks over his shoulder as Rudy gains on them. The men crash through some roadworks, narrowly missing a large digger. Rudy swerves to avoid it and crashes through a huge stack of water bottles. The men swerve to avoid a donkey and its cart carrying baskets. Rudy is not so lucky and smashes through the cart, sending the baskets flying into the air and crashing into a fruit stall. The car careens into the market stall in a plume of dust.
Sorry about the car.
Rudy drives along a small road, looking for the men.
There they are.
Let's just nail these sons of bitches.
With an expression of grim determination, Rudy speeds towards their car and crashes into its side. The car flips over onto a fountain.
You okay?
I'm fine.
One of the men clambers out of the wreckage. Rudy kicks him into the fountain, then leaps in after him. The man delivers several kicks to Rudy's body, but Rudy returns the favor and high kicks him in the head. They exchange blows, then Rudy grabs him by the throat.
Where's my father? Where's my father, son of a bitch?
The other man grabs Rudy by the neck and lifts him off his feet.
Gonna tell
Finley hits the man over the back of the neck with his cane.
You okay?
Finley, look out!
One of the men shoots Finley in the chest. The police arrive and draw their weapons.
Hey, madame, don't move!
He needs a doctor, help me!
Don't move!
Help me! Hey, it's not me!
Get up.
It's not me!
It's
not me!
Now, at the police station...
And so you are telling us these men kidnapped your father?
They took him somewhere, and no one's heard from him.
Mr. Kaufmeier, I can smell bullshit a mile away. And you're only 5 feet from me.
I believe you are using the alleged disappearance of your father as a cover to smuggle artifacts out of Israel.
Alleged. My father was here, and now he's missing.
Which has nothing to do with the reason you are now in police custody. You were found next to the corpse of a prominent professor.
Let me guess. Now you're accusing me of killing him?
Until we have more facts, all options are open. I'm placing you under house arrest. You'll be taken to a hotel where you will remain until we complete our investigation into the professor's death.
Why are you smelling bullshit? Because you're up to your nose in it.
It's nighttime. A police car arrives at a hotel. Dahlia shows Rudy to his room.
I'll be in a room next door if you need anything.
What about a taxi?
Within reason.
And what about my father?
We are looking into the matter, Mr. Kaufmeier. Good night.
Good night, officer.
Lieutenant Barr. Dahlia Barr.
Rudy looks through the window. In the distance is a monastery. He flicks a switch on his suitcase and pulls out a long cord. Outside the room, a policeman paces the hallway. Rudy lowers the cord over the roof of the hotel and abseils down the side of the building. He drops to the ground and approaches the hotel doorman.
How are you?
Okay.
Thanks.
He hands the porter some money and climbs into a taxi. Now it's morning. A marketplace bustles with activity. Traders noisily sell their wares in a crowded market. Rudy mingles with the crowd. Nearby, a group of policemen are handing out his picture. Rudy spots the police officers and turns around, hiding his face. He takes off his glasses and slips them into his shirt pocket, then takes a bigger, darker pair of glasses from a market stall and puts them on. He tries on another pair, trying to look inconspicuous as the policemen wander nearby. Now Rudy's holding a set of keys with a tag that reads, Bank Moriah, Jerusalem. He heads into the bank. Inside, he opens a safety deposit box. It contains two items wrapped in polythene. The first is cylindrical. He unwraps it. He unrolls the ancient parchment contained within. A strange map-like design is printed on its surface. Now Rudy walks down the street carrying a holdall in his hand. He glances warily over his shoulder, then picks up a phone. In an office somewhere, Yuri is sitting with two other men.
Yuri.
Rudy.
Rudy, let me explain what happened in Odessa.
Explain what? You left me hanging like a piece of laundry.
But Rudy, my friend, there was this cop before.
Admit it!
You little slime ball, or you'll never see your money. What money?
The egg. I sold it. Remember our deal? 10%? That's 50 G's for you, my friend. Lucky for you, this place makes me feel very generous.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rudy.
Thank you.
Rudy, do you have the cash with you?
No, it's under my mattress. Of course I have it. But I'm leaving tonight.
Tonight?
Can we meet first? Please come to my office in Tel Aviv.
I have a beautiful new penthouse suite in the Diamond District. You'll be my special guest.
My friend, we would like to use the phone.
Rudy?
Yuri, I have a much better idea.
The two men were looking at Yuri with grim expressions while he was talking to Rudy. Now Rudy's outside a monastery, looking around anxiously.
Yuri.
A Jewish man.
Yuri.
Is that you, Rudy?
Dressed in traditional Jewish attire, Rudy gestures for Yuri to follow him. They wander down a narrow alleyway, then Rudy shoves Yuri up against the wall.
You slime boy. You almost got me killed.
Hey, Rudy, it wasn't my fault.
You owe me.
Owe you?
You owe me.
What do you mean I owe you?
You owe me, I said.
Anything, Rudy. Anything. Anything. Just tell me what I can do to help, my friend.
I need this map translated.
Done.
Can you do it?
Sure. I'm positive.
I'm
pro, my friend. What are you talking about?
And this printed.
Done. For you, Rudy. Anything.
Okay, understand something. I know where you sleep.
I'm telling you, it wasn't my fault. There were cops over there. There were police. What's
up? Cops. Let's split up. I'll call you. Go. Go.
A group of cops give chase. At the station, Dahlia hears their calls over the police radio. She grabs her gun belt and heads off. As the officers run down an alley, Rudy emerges from a hiding place and goes the other way. He nods to an old Jewish man. Rudy races off. A group of Jewish men spot Rudy being pursued by the police. They gesture for him to come towards them. They allow him to pass, then form a human wall at the mouth of the alley. Dahlia and the other officers are blocked by the crowd. Dahlia punches one of the men, then charges through. The crowd help the Jewish man to his feet. He rubs his aching jaw. Rudy follows a dark alleyway out into an open marketplace to find himself confronted by several grim-faced men wearing Muslim skull caps. As he wanders through the market, they nudge him on purpose and shoot him disdainful glares. A large, bald-headed man is bartering with a trader. Dahlia runs into the marketplace.
Hey, you! Stop!
Rudy!
Stop! Kadima!
Rudy headbutts the bald customer, then clambers over the stall and up some stone steps. The big man pursues him, enraged. Rudy pushes his way through the crowd, throwing a man over his shoulder. The bald man charges after Rudy, but he grabs hold of a metal beam and swings off the wall.
Come on!
Rudy runs over the rooftops, chased by the bald man and the police. He leaps from one roof to another. A policeman tries to do the same, but falls short and tumbles to the ground. Police reinforcements charge into an open plaza. Rudy high kicks two policemen. A police helicopter hovers overhead. Rudy punches a policeman and twists his hand before throwing him to the ground. Another officer grabs him from behind, tearing off his jacket. Rudy punches him in the face and swing kicks him in the chest. Rudy runs up some steps and is grabbed by another policeman who throws him against a wall. Rudy flips over and leaps into the air, doing the splits and kicking two policemen at the same time. A cop grabs Rudy, ripping off his beard. Rudy kicks him over a small bridge. On a rooftop, the bald man suddenly confronts Rudy, grabbing him by the throat and pushing him aside. The powerfully built man takes a swing but misses. Rudy delivers several punches to the man's face, but he hardly flinches. He slams his fist into Rudy's shoulder, driving him back against a railing. Rudy wraps his legs around the man's throat, and together they fall off the side of the building and crash into a market stall. They grab each other's throats, twisting and turning as they try to throttle each other to death. But suddenly, the bald man is distracted when he spots Dahlia and the other police officers.
Cuff him!
As the officers handcuff Rudy and the man, Dahlia grabs Rudy by the neck.
No much trouble I'm in because of you. Do you know?
Let's have a coffee and talk about it.
Well, Mr. Kaffmeyer, you have proved to me that my original hunch was correct. You cannot be trusted.
I came here to look for my father. I did what I had to do because nobody else seems to give a shit.
On the contrary, we spoke to immigration. They have no record of your father entering the country.
That's impossible.
What's really going on, Mr. Kaffmeyer? Were you perhaps planning to smuggle out a little something?
Two officers enter the room, carrying some bags.
Hey, those are mine. What's going on here?
Yes, we checked you out of the hotel. You may change at the airport. You're going home.
You cannot do that.
I can and will. Can I trust you to take him to the airport without him escaping again?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what about Phil's murder?
You're no longer a suspect.
I'm still your only witness.
We have your testimony, thank you. Enjoy your flight, Mr. Kaffmeyer.
Come on. You're not helping me. You're not helping yourself. You're full of shit. What's going on here?
What did you find?
The officer hands the lieutenant a set of keys. Now, at the coast, a group of men are gathered dressed in red and white robes and bearing flags with red crosses.
Today, as every year at this time, we come to this special place to commemorate the departure of the Knights of Christendom from these shores.
Brother Cyrus will now lead us in a passage from the Fazan.
Thank you, First Disciple.
Brother Cyrus takes his place behind a stand.
As was prophesied in the Book of Tribulations, we await the return of the army of God, who shall rise like a tide against a sea of those who do not believe.
Now, the disciples are making their way up a hill overlooking the ocean. The leader approaches Cyrus.
Cyrus? By what authority do you quote from that disreputable source? The second disciple, you of all our brothers, should know better!
I beg your forgiveness. It was an unpardonable error.
Lavaillant himself once followed a false path toward God. We must choose our words carefully. Wars have started for less.
I will ask for forgiveness at evening vespers.
The leader smiles, reassured, and gets into the passenger seat of a car. Cyrus closes the door after him, then strides away across the sand, an intense and haunted look on his face. Behind him, the car explodes. Now, at an airport, Dahlia locks a pair of handcuffs around Rudy's wrists.
Your flight doesn't leave for a few hours. You hungry?
Oh, someone here actually cares about me.
We may be overly cautious about our security and protective of our artifacts, but we're not barbarians, Mr. Kaufmeier. It'd be a shame if you left without sampling some fresh hummus.
A little later, Rudy scoops some hummus onto some pita bread and eats it.
You like?
He nods.
I'd like it more without this.
Sorry.
Look, I came here to find my father. He told me he was in trouble. He's the type of guy who never lies.
Sounds like you really care about him. The two of you must be very close.
He told me everything about paintings, antiques, you name it.
Well, he certainly applied that knowledge.
Let's say I did. I never meant to hurt him.
And that's bothering you now?
Yes, because now he's missing. And I'm just starting to realize what I missed. Why am I telling you all this?
You're tired. You're jet-lagged. You'll feel a lot better once you're back on a plane.
No, I'll feel better when I find him.
A television news report catches Dahlia's attention. She joins other cops watching the TV.
This attack was a brutal and senseless act perpetrated on a man who devoted his life to God and to peace. These brothers and sisters mourn his passing and pray that those responsible find repentance in their hearts.
Who died? Pierre Gaudin, the leader of some religious sect.
You mean the order?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the police officers opens a small locker numbered 161 and takes out a metal box, leaving the inside to be empty. A police convoy arrives at an airfield. A van door is slid open and Rudy is taken out, with his hands still cuffed in front of him.
Come on, this way.
He's walked to the bottom of some steps leading up to an aircraft. Dahlia is beside him.
Please keep on moving.
Rudy stumbles on a step and glares at the plainclothes cop holding his arm. Dahlia follows them onto the plane. He's directed into a seat and looks up at Dahlia. Her mobile phone starts ringing.
Hello?
Get the prisoner off the plane. I want him brought back here.
Why?
We've been informed he's leaving with an artifact.
Major Custom checked him. I saw him changing.
Just do it, Lieutenant!
Dahlia hangs up, looking troubled, then glances at Rudy.
What's going on?
You're staying in Israel.
What?
They said you're trying to smuggle an artifact.
Do you believe that? Something is not kosher here. I'm not trying to be funny, okay?
He stares at her intently. She looks over her shoulder, then moves closer and starts to unlock his cuffs.
When I signal, run to the bank stairs. There's a service road on the far side of the tarmac. If you make it there, I'll be waiting.
If I make it?
Now push me.
He pushes her and she flies back.
Over here! He's escaping!
Rudy races down the aisle, followed by another officer. Dahlia sticks her foot out, felling her colleague.
Quick! I need assistance up here!
More cops hurry up the steps onto the plane. Rudy has made his way to the back, past shocked stewardesses and passengers. He leaps over the railings and blocks the path of a small yellow truck towing embarkation steps.
What are you doing?
He pulls the driver out and takes his seat. The cops run down to the airfield just as Rudy motors away. They see the speeding vehicle and race to their cars and vans, ready to give chase. Police convoy falls into line behind the steps being towed by Rudy's cumbersome getaway vehicle. Rudy steers his truck under the wing of a plane. The flight of steps behind smash into the craft. A security van leaves it too late to swerve and crashes into them, causing the plane's wing to explode. Now moving faster, Rudy keeps driving, narrowly missing a passing coach. Two trucks hauling luggage pass in front of him, and he smashes through them, littering the airfield with bags and cases. A plane is taxiing up the runway, preparing for takeoff. Rudy spots it and veers off course in order to cross in front of it. The two vehicles pass within feet of each other. The security force van swerves around the plane but gets blown over by the jet stream from the huge engines. It slides across the tarmac, then finally comes to a stop. One of the men inside lifts himself up through a broken window wearing a disgruntled expression. Rudy looks back with a smile, then drives straight into a pile of rubble. He sits up, looking dazed, then kicks the door open. Dahlia pulls up in a police car.
Rudy! Get in the back, hurry! Get down! You all right?
A military 4x4 pulls up.
You missed him! He went over the fence!
As the soldiers disperse, Dahlia drives away, with Rudy lying across the back seat.
What? I've got some questions for you, okay?
I used to belong to the Order.
What? You should have told me this before.
Rudy, I couldn't.
Of course not, because you're part of it.
No, because I didn't know any of this was related.
Oh, sure. You always knew
there
about my father.
Hey! Hey! I just risked my ass for you!
Why? So you can hand me over to the Order?
I left the Order when I was 18.
Oh, you left the Order?
I wanted to create my own life.
So meeting you at the airport was no accident, right?
Look, Rudy, let me just explain a few things to you, okay? Most of the followers are peaceful and life-affirming. There is a small group of fanatics who believe in a darker path. They call themselves the Army of God. They've been on standby for years.
And you think these are the guys who took my father?
I don't know, Rudy. They might also be the ones who killed Buday.
Now Rudy arrives at Yuri's office.
Hey, Rudy, my friend. Who's the cop?
Oh, everything is fine. She's with us.
Uh-huh. Look, my friend, look what I printed out for you from the disc. He did.
Yuri scoops up gold jewelry from his desk and ushers some visitors out. Rudy and Dahlia are looking through files when Yuri rolls out the ancient scroll.
It's not translated yet, but I've made my...
It looks like a map of Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Middle Ages, European design. What's the language?
Aramaic. It was the language of Palestinian Christians at the time of the Crusades. Okay, now, see these lines here and here? They are caves and tunnels beneath the old city. They've remained hidden since the Holy Wars.
Professor Finley told me about those.
But what he didn't tell you is what they lead to. Ask yourselves, why would an archaeology professor bring the scrolls to New York but leave them up in Israel? Hidden inside a safe deposit box. Because the map leads to something even more valuable. Mize!
Yura, я у тебя забыл кое-что в офисе. Мне нужно срочно вернуться.
Ай, я твой! It's the people who just left. They forgot something.
Let's hide this.
Yeah.
Yuri rolls up the scroll and puts it in a metal briefcase with the paperwork.
Hands in the air! Get them up! Move! Where is it?
Rudy glances at the case, and the masked intruder grabs it and races off.
Freeze!
Dahlia fires at a second masked man, who fires his weapon, shooting Yuri. Outside, the man who grabbed the case whips off his mask and jumps into a car. Inside, Rudy grabs a gun from the second man, whose face is revealed as his other attacker from earlier. Rudy's other attacker, Amnon, races off. Cars and a motorcyclist crash behind him. Rudy runs out of the building and sees the bike on the ground. Without a second thought, he picks it up and speeds off after Amnon, pulling a wheelie. Dahlia comes outside in time to see Rudy disappearing into the city. Amnon's car weaves across a junction, followed shortly after by Rudy. The pursuit continues along a coastal road. Two police cars have joined in the chase. The car veers off the coastal route, smashing into parked cars. Rudy follows, but the police progress is hampered by a van blocking the road. Finding himself in the path of an oncoming vehicle, Rudy rides the bike over the obstacle, then drives up a footpath, keeping pace with the red car. Pedestrians leap out of the way. He flies over parked cars, then drives between two coaches, missing their sides by millimeters. As the red car speeds up one road, Rudy takes an alternative route. The car bumps down a set of steps and smashes into the side of a police van. Amnon takes the case and runs down a narrow alley, then fires behind him at Rudy, who falls off his bike. Rudy continues the pursuit on foot, but is forced to duck behind a wall to avoid being hit by gunfire. Dahlia arrives moments behind some cops. She briefly glances down at the fallen motorbike, then follows them. Rudy gains on his quarry, finally getting him in his sights. Amnon fires, hitting Rudy, who returns with a bullet of his own. Amnon drops the case, then runs off, nursing his injured hand. Rudy staggers over to the case and grabs the handle. He tosses his gun away. The cops appear around the corner, with Dahlia amongst them. She misdirects them, and they run off. Then she spots Rudy's gun behind some pots, and spots of blood on the ground. She holsters her gun, then finds Rudy hanging onto a wall, his feet dangling off the ground. She helps him back over the wall. He collapses to the ground in severe pain from his gunshot wound. She feels his neck for a pulse.
Rudy.
She looks around desperately as Rudy slowly sinks into unconsciousness. Beyond the wall, destitute buildings meet the green sea. Now, an ancient temple with a tiered tower overlooking the modern city. Dahlia drives a black car down a narrow road, surrounded by sweeping hillsides. Men pass by riding donkeys, and further along, camels border the route. Rudy is lying on the back seat of the car with his eyes wide open, sweat glistening on his face and neck. The car arrives in a medieval-looking village, with yellow stone buildings seemingly carved out of the landscape. She maneuvers the vehicle round a hairpin bend. Later, she pulls a cover over Rudy's sleeping form and goes over to a man staring out into the sunshine which penetrates the darkened room through a square window.
Thank you, Avram.
After all this time, you come back to me like this.
Avram stands up.
Avram, you know I've had to make some difficult choices.
You chose to leave.
Please, can we talk about this later? I really need some water and clean rags right now.
Avram is wearing a white scarf round his neck and has thick, dark hair.
Here's some water.
Thank you, Avram.
Now, the setting sun casts a tawny caramel light over the arid landscape. Rudy wakes up and sees Dahlia sitting beside him, with her eyes closed, resting her head on her hand.
Oh. friends?
How long have you been here?
2 days now.
Hey, shh. You really should rest.
I'm okay.
Well enough to leave?
They both look over at Avram.
Israeli hospitality kills me.
No, it just saved your life.
Avram walks out.
Here. Your father's book.
Yeah.
I've been going through this. You really should too.
He takes the papers from her. Now he sits outside on a rock to read the book.
The last chapter predicts a revolution, one that is peaceful and spiritual in nature. This will not be good news to the radical army of God, who contends that Le Vaillant prophesied a catastrophic holy war. I suspect this militant faction will stop at nothing to suppress the true contents of this final chapter. Though my own safety may be at issue, I have requested an interview with the first disciple to make these matters known.
Your scholar seems to be on the verge of enlightenment.
It wouldn't hurt you to sample some of it yourself.
Dahlia, the world is as filled with temptations as it is with false prophets.
Avram rubs Dahlia's neck.
Onions. I need onions.
Rudy comes in, and Avram casts him a look of dislike.
Is everything okay?
We were just discussing your father's manuscript.
It's a fraud.
A fraud? The scrolls. They were tested.
By whom? Secular scientists.
If you would just open your mind.
To what? To this, Avram.
The scroll.
What is this? What is this?
It's mentioned in the Fazar. Solomon's gold. A treasure the ancient Hebrews hid under the city.
Which might explain why people with guns have been chasing us all over Israel.
It explains nothing but your ignorance. The treasure is a metaphor for the wisdom of the ancient sages.
Avram, I need to get to the monastery. I think they're holding my father.
Impossible. No outsider is permitted.
What about an insider? A member from overseas that is here on pilgrimage.
Some are in plain red habits, others in white with red vertical stripes down their centers. In the same robes, Rudy and Dahlia have blended seamlessly into the crowd proceeding up a staircase. The worshippers gather beneath a balcony adorned with a flag bearing a red cross on a white background. On the balcony, Cyrus holds out his hand for silence.
That's Cyrus. And your first disciple.
A man whispers to Cyrus while looking at Rudy. He's Amnon, the masked intruder who stole the briefcase.
Children of God, I stand here before you today in great sorrow. For what should be a celebration of hope and joy must instead be looked upon as a call to action. God's vengeance for this murderous deed will be swift and without mercy.
Avram joins Rudy and Dahlia.
May the eternal spirit of Pierre Gaudet guide us on this path of deliverance.
It's the best time to see my father's alive.
Try the catacombs first.
Death be one without purpose.
That door leads to a small stairway. Follow it all the way down.
Rudy.
If we are to find the true wisdom of our founder.
Now, Rudy heads down a darkened stairway. He stands in the faint light filtering through an arched window, then pulls off his hood. As he makes his way down stone steps, the sound of the worshippers applauding Cyrus filter into the catacombs. Ruby pulls off his robes and looks at some ancient parchments spread out over a table. He picks up a scroll, identical to the one his father had. Oscar, his father, steps into the light in a barred cell.
Dad, you all right?
Yes.
Let me get you out of here.
No, I already tried. No, forget about me. You have to stop them. Pull off that top. You will see what this is all about. Rudy, go, go.
Up above, Cyrus walks through his ranks of followers with a serious expression. A priest lifts up a polished sword. In the catacombs, Rudy pulls back some tarpaulin, revealing plastic packs of explosives and wires.
This looks like
a bomb?
Sorry we're late, Mr. Kaufmeyer. But I could give a shit about this coronation.
Tonight, we will all witness a miracle as God's fury cleanses the souls of those who stand against us. Let the new age begin!
Where are you going?
To find Rudy. Aaron, we have to put a stop to this.
All right, I'm coming with you. This way.
Rudy!
Dahlia, stop! It's a trap! Now, be a good girl, Dahlia, and come down here.
And since when did you take your vows with the Order, Major?
The day Cyrus vowed there was a treasure under the Temple Mount. That's the day I found religion. Hello, Professor. Dad, meet Dahlia. She's a good cop. Now, let's ask the Major what the big bomb is for, huh?
Rudy is forced into a chair.
It's Ramadan. Islamic leaders from around the world will be on a temple mound at noon.
What are you saying? This nutcase is going to blow it up?
That will start World War III.
Especially when they find the bodies of an Israeli and an American beneath the rubble.
No, no, you're crazy. This is impossible. You have completely misinterpreted the words of the first disciple.
And you are a naive moron.
Cyrus appears.
You have truly lost the way, Cyrus.
On the contrary, I've found it. I want to thank you, young Kaufmeyer, for unwittingly providing the final piece of the puzzle. And thank you, Abram, for your unwavering loyalty and devotion.
But, first disciple, what they're saying here is...
Abram! If you've read the Book of Tribulations carefully, you are aware that the Holy War is triggered by a singular event. Behold the event. And as my unwavering one, I shall grant you the privilege of assisting us. Bind him and her too. Now, where's my guide?
As the Major opens Oscar's cell and drags him out, Dahlia spits in Avram's face.
That. Does this mean you'll be assisting us too, Professor?
What's talking about that?
With the map you brought us, your father is now able to guide us under the Temple Mount.
Cyrus, please. Millions will die.
It is written! I will raise Mount Moriah and build upon it a new temple.
That prophecy you are quoting is a fabrication!
Don't do shit for him.
Apparently, stubbornness is an ingrained family trait.
Beats a Messiah complex any day.
Stop! I will do it. I will guide you. God help us all.
He helps those who help themselves, Professor.
After jabbing Rudy in the throat, Cyrus sheathes his sword. Now a stone is rolled back, and men carrying torches make their way down a pitch-black tunnel. Following the men, led by Oscar, a quad bike with glaring headlights is carrying the bomb. Rudy and Dahlia are reluctantly making their way down the corridor, being held at gunpoint. Avram walks behind them, followed by two sect worshippers. At the head of the procession, Cyrus and Oscar's flashlight beams sweep through the darkness over the stone walls.
We are near the Temple Mount. That is where the traps begin.
Perhaps we should use someone expendable to lead the way.
Young Mr. Kaffmeyer, we have a job for you.
Walking ahead, the floor shifts beneath Rudy's feet.
Rudy! Rudy, be careful!
Go. Avram.
The floor gives way beneath Avram's feet, and he clings to the side of a pit. Rudy grabs Avram's arm and hauls him to safety.
Come on, Avram!
Cyrus grabs Oscar by the collar.
You deceived me.
No, no, no! This is the way, according to the map.
Then how do we proceed?
What's the matter with you guys? You see these beams? We take them down and we build a bridge!
A little later, they're taking slow, steady steps over beams laid over the chasm. The quad bike trundles over the makeshift bridge. Now they walk through a corridor which opens out into a large chamber. Stone steps lead up to a raised platform. The group wander into the chamber, sweeping the torchlight over the floor, which is strewn with treasures, a heap of coins and a pile of gold goblets and bowls. Oscar and Rudy look round in amazement. As the vehicle rolls in, one of the cops fills his pockets with coins.
Not the Well of Souls.
In the next chamber, I swear.
Show me.
Cyrus grabs Oscar by the collar and drags him away. Avram sits down, wearing a look of consternation. Oscar leads Cyrus into a dark chamber. A shaft of luminescent blue light streams from the middle of the ceiling to the floor. The light is coming from a grate in the ceiling.
Directly above us, the Dome of the Rock, Islam's third holiest shrine.
And henceforth, from this day forward, the holiest shrine of the order.
Above ground, a group of Muslim men drop to their knees and bow in prayer.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Cyrus, I beg you to reconsider.
Main chamber, where the Major is examining a gold plate.
Bring the bomb.
Hey, hold on. We'll get to that. First, we fill these bags.
There's no time.
Would you take a look around you, Cyrus? There's a king's treasure here. Enough to finance 10 of your holy wars.
We set the bomb now.
We can do this the easy way, or the very easy way.
The police and Cyrus's followers point guns at each other.
I have a prophecy to fulfill.
And I have a Swiss bank account to fill. That's the only reason I joined your crazy scheme in the first place.
Rudy high kicks one of the disciples.
Professor, here!
Stop them!
Dahlia kicks one of the disciples and takes his gun.
No!
Avram, no!
Avram is shot in the chest. He slides down the wall, life oozing out of him.
Rudy, you're dead!
Dad, you're hit. Dahlia, come on. Let's go. Over here.
Rudy helps his father over to a wall and examines his wound. Dahlia ducks out of sight as a group of disciples rush past.
That is the year. I'll be back for you.
I'll be fine.
Let's go. Come on.
Split. Go.
They head off in different directions.
Get after him! I'll take care of that bitch!
The Major charges down Dahlia's tunnel. Meanwhile, in the Well of Souls, Cyrus wheels the bomb under the halo of blue light streaming from the ceiling. He kneels down and starts the digital timer, counting down from 10 minutes. Dahlia backs against a wall and catches her breath, while Cyrus drops a small object into a pool of water. A line of Jewish men pray against the wailing wall, while a nun and priest walk slowly into a courtyard. Meanwhile, a cop heaves a huge sack of treasure. Cyrus comes in.
Ah, help me with these.
Assist him.
A disciple shoots him dead. Meanwhile, Dahlia is creeping along the tunnel. The Major spots the glare of a torch and fires, but accidentally shoots a disciple.
Dead.
Meanwhile, Rudy karate chops a disciple. Another disciple comes over, holding a gun. Rudy kicks the gun out of his hand, but the disciple retaliates with several swing kicks. Rudy ducks out of the way and returns the kicks. Rudy tries to grab the gun, but the disciple sweeps his foot over it, blocking his reach. Rudy and the disciple face off, their fists clenched and ready for action. Rudy turns a corner, and the disciple kicks out of the darkness. Rudy falls back onto the table. The disciple kicks his foot through the wood, breaking it to pieces. They circle each other. The disciple delivers two high swing kicks, but Rudy ducks them both. Rudy slams his foot into the disciple's chest, driving him backwards and impaling him on a metal spike. Meanwhile, the Major fires a shot towards Dahlia. She ducks behind a wall. The Major sees her torch drop to the ground. With his gun still poised, he slowly approaches the fallen torch.
Hey, Dad. Meet Dahlia. She's the dead cop!
Wrong, Major.
She shoots him in the chest.
Professor, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Rudy arrives.
I'm taking my foot out of here.
What about you?
I've got a stubborn bomb.
Rudy, please be careful.
Come on, Professor. Let's go. Are you ready for this?
The bomb has 5 minutes left. Two disciples are loading treasure into a sack. Rudy disposes of them with a few powerful kicks from his mighty thighs. Cyrus skulks into the chamber.
The bomb is set. It's irreversible.
He draws a huge gleaming sword.
The prophecy will be fulfilled, and I will vanquish my enemy.
Cyrus takes two powerful swings. Rudy manages to duck the first, but the second rips through his clothing. Rudy leaps out of the way. He grabs a shield as Cyrus lays into him, swiping and thrashing, his sword clashing against Rudy's golden shield. Rudy drives his foot into Cyrus's stomach, sending him reeling across the room and crashing into a pile of treasure. Rudy spots the handle of another sword poking out from a pile. He reaches for it, but Cyrus swipes his sword through the air, blocking his reach. Rudy picks up a gold candle holder and uses it to block Cyrus's swipes. Cyrus knocks the candle holder out of Rudy's hands. Rudy kicks Cyrus in the shoulder, driving him against the wall. He runs up the stone steps and grabs a sword. Cyrus pursues him and bears his sword down on Rudy. Rudy blocks his blow with his own sword, and they clash. As their sword blades sing in the darkness, they glare at each other. Cyrus sends Rudy's sword spinning out of his grasp. He lunges at him, but Rudy leaps clear just in time to pull his sword out of the ground at the foot of the steps. Cyrus leaps down after him and is impaled upon Rudy's blade. Rudy gets up, as does Cyrus, clutching the sword that protrudes from his stomach.
You can't stop the prophecy.
Rudy runs at him and sends him flying backwards with a flying kick.
You read the wrong book, pal.
Now Rudy arrives back at the explosives. The timer is counting down from 2 minutes. He grabs hold of a pair of handles and struggles to pull the quad bike trailer across the stone floor. Grimacing with pain, he succeeds in getting the explosives to the rocky tunnel and continues dragging the packed trailer away. He stops at the makeshift bridge spanning the dark chasm, stoops, and pulls aside two of the beams placed there. Now he gets behind the quad bike trailer, lifts the rear end, and shunts it forward quickly. The trailer finally topples over the edge of the black chasm and hurtles downwards into the darkness. As he straightens up, a beam smacks him hard in the back. He collapses, then rolls over to see the Major looming over him, with the beam in his hands.
Now, it's time to say, bon voyage!
Shalom!
Rudy kicks the Major's feet from under him, causing him to trip and fall into the chasm. The Major dangles on the edge, clinging desperately to Rudy's shoulders with a frantic look on his face. Rudy's grimy shirt tears to shreds, sending the Major plunging into the abyss. The explosives timer reaches 9 seconds as Rudy runs for his life. He jumps into the chamber beyond the tunnel. On the surface, people in prayer look around them as the ground shakes. Billowing yellow flames boil up from the dark chasm. A plume of fire explodes into the city, sending up a column of black smoke. Jewish and Muslim people alike look around in fear, but gradually, normality returns. As a man chants from high up in a minaret, a priest crosses himself solemnly. Hundreds of people kneel down in prayer as a line of Jewish men nod, praying, at the Wailing Wall. From the rooftops of Jerusalem to New York. In his office at the library, Oscar reaches for one of his newly published books entitled The Order, A History. He opens it to write an inscription. Rudy opens the door and pops his head in.
Hey, Dad!
Rudy!
My main man! Hey, this is great.
I just have a few more of these to sign and then we can go to lunch.
Take your time.
Rudy notices an ancient scroll lying on an open atlas and picks up the parchment.
Don't touch that!
I'm sorry. What is this?
It is a map which purports to show the location of the fabled 7 cities of Fibula near Cancun on the Yucatan Peninsula.
Oh.
These, ostensibly, are the legendary cities of gold containing the Mayan treasure which the Spanish conquistadors so desperately had sought. And to answer your inevitable next question, yes, it is quite valuable. Rudy. Rudy?
Rudy!
So, where to, young Kaufmeier?
Cancun, Mexico. Mm-hmm.
Will that be business or pleasure?
Pleasure, always.
Rudy!
Now a montage of clips showing some of the amazing stunts in the film. Rudy leaps doing the splits and high-kicking two police officers. Now he makes a flying leap from one rooftop to another. The man following tries to do the same, but doesn't make it. Rudy and the burly bald man crash onto a market stall. A series of vicious kicks from various fight scenes. A clip from the fight between Rudy and the bald man. When the police discover them, they pretend not to have been fighting and straighten out each other's shirts. Now, outtakes from fight sequences. Rudy makes a flying leap in slow motion.